Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 34 degrees under fair skies. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A helicopter from Coast Guard Air Station Sitka rescued a Wrangell man from a sinking boat in Keku Strait on Tuesday morning. 47-year-old Lester Kuntz was reported overdue Monday evening. He was heading from Cake to Wrangell aboard his 22-foot boat, the Keeper. When he was overdue, the Coast Guard launched a Jayhawk helicopter, which searched for 2 hours on Monday. It was unable to locate Kuntz on Monday, and so a second search was launched Tuesday morning. It located the man at about 9:15 a.m. just south of Conclusion Island. His vessel was taking on water. Kuntz was hoisted before his vessel sank and taken to Wrangell in good condition. The Coast Guard reported winds of 40 miles per hour and 7-foot seas at the time of the incident. Lieutenant James Dooley said the man was very lucky to have survived and that the search was aided by the man's communication with his family back in Wrangell, who knew he was overdue. A pair of underclassmen made the difference for the Sitka High boys swim team at the regional meet in Juneau over the weekend. The Wolves bested Thunder Mountain and Petersburg to capture the Region 5 title for the fourth time in recent years. Junior Carl Brenner, who anchors the Wolves' first-place 200 medley relay team, can barely contain his excitement over the performances turned in by his younger teammates Owen Fulton and Justin Harang.
Owen and Justin, who I didn't think were going to make finals, Saturday they pulled, Friday they had amazing lifetime swims, and they made it into finals, which really helped us.
Help might be an understatement. Fulton broke into the top eight in the 200 individual medley, and Harang did the same in the 100 breast, each earning a point for the Sitka squad. When the dust had settled, Sitka took the championship by 1 point over Thunder Mountain and 2 points over third place Petersburg. Sitka's 200 medley relay team of Louis Belay, Jacob Reed, R.J. Miller, and Carl Brenner went into the meet as the favorite and edged out Petersburg by a full second. Brenner suggested that in such a competitive region, Sitka needed to gain an advantage wherever it could.
We started a new start technique this year, and our starts have just been getting better and better, and then we worked on our turns, and it's just determination, really.
Sitka relay teams took second place in two other events, the 200 and 400 free. Spencer Combs, R.J. Miller, Evan Harrington, and Brenner were the 200 team. Louis Belay and Jacob Reed swam with Brenner and Combs in the 400. R.J. Miller swims the butterfly both on the relay team and as an individual. The sophomore has been building speed all season.
Over the weekend, I swam the 100 fly, and I got a best time on Friday, and I dropped a second on Saturday, so I feel that I can go even faster.
Miller's 200 medley relay team will be seeded fourth going into the state meet at Bartlett High in Anchorage this weekend. At this level, Miller says a fraction of a second can make a difference.
Overall, if everyone drops, you know, maybe half a second, we could probably be in first.
The Sitka girls, having a rebuilding year, won third in the 200 medley relay, which propelled them to fifth place overall, despite having only four swimmers. The team members are Sarah Rasmussen-Rakoff, Maddie Chadwick, Don McMaster, and Megan Reed. In individual events, Reed qualified for state in the 50 free and 100 breast, and Chadwick qualified in the 100 breast. Sitka last won the state title in swimming in 2006. For a link to the complete results from the Region 5 meet, visit our website, kcaw.org. The U.S. Forest Service is considering a new timber sale on Kuprinoff Island west of Petersburg. The agency released a draft environmental impact statement for the Tonka timber sale, which could provide up to 53 million board feet of timber to area sawmills. The logging could also fund some second growth thinning and fish habitat work, Joe Vicknicki reports.
The new logging would happen on Kuprinoff Island's Lindenberg Peninsula, an area with existing forest roads and a history of timber harvest stretching back to the 1930s. The draft environmental document outlines three action alternatives with harvests ranging from 25 million up to 53 million board feet. The Forest Service's preferred alternative falls in the middle of that range, around 39 million board feet. Forest Supervisor Forrest Cole sees several highlights in the proposed sale.
One that's on an existing road system that was put in place just for projects just like this. It's looking at not only timber, but a few other types of projects that we've been combining in to stewardship-type projects.
Logging would be a mix of conventional road-based harvest and helicopter yarding for the cut trees. The work would require new permanent and temporary road construction. Depending on the amount of harvest, the agency estimates the sale could support between 116 to 247 logging and road building jobs. Cole says the wood would probably be offered in one large sale rather than a series of sales.
More than likely for this one, we will do probably a major project out of it and then provide some opportunity to hold some wood back for small sales if there's a demand for it. But in terms of stewardship, we have been authorized as of late to put projects up in a timber sale form to create a value and then retain the receipts that we've collected and put them into other work.
That other work could mean thinning out of the second growth on already logged hillsides in the area, along with repair of failing road culverts or other improvements to fish streams and even trail construction. That stewardship work is an important goal for the region's largest environmental organization, but Bob Claus, the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council's Forest Program Director, says the specifics about the work should be outlined in the timber sale environmental document.
We like the idea of combining a way to get revenue from the forest with the way to repair the damages of the past as far as salmon streams and thinning for wildlife habitat, for better opportunities for wildlife and for hunters and other uses of the forest, but that's not in this document. So it's hard to say that this is a progressive step forward towards the goals that we share with the Forest Service.
Claus says SEAC will be working with local residents to determine other concerns with the proposed sale during the 45-day comment period for the environmental document. Meanwhile, for timber industry members, the federal timber offering cannot come out fast enough. Wrangell resident George Woodbury is a board member of the Alaska Forest Association, a logging industry group.
The main issue is getting this from a draft to a record of decision and then into a timber sale as fast as it can. We desperately need a timber. And this has been in the works for a long time and going through all kinds of process and reviews, clear into the Washington office. And now that the draft is out, hopefully they can accelerate their normal procedure some way and get this thing out so there'll be a timber sale to bid on.
Woodbury says the more timber offered on the Tonka sale, the better. He also says a sawmill purchasing the wood will benefit from two options for moving the cut logs from Kuprinoff Island. The draft EIS proposes using a log raft holding area in a bay on the southern end of the Wrangell Narrows, commonly called the Pothole. Towing companies fighting the tides of the Narrows have used that site as a temporary log storage in the past, and it's been a concern for local crabbers worried that bark from log rafts could ruin a productive area. A Forest Service Commission dive survey of the seafloor in 2007 found only trace amounts of bark, and the agency has applied for state permits that would allow a towing company to use the pothole again for another 5 years. The Forest Service's Cole explains the pothole is only one option.
We have been working with the state of Alaska for quite some time trying to get the permit for the pothole. We have not received that permit yet, so having a sort yard on the uplands would still provide an opportunity to make that project go forward and use a barge rather than put them in the water. But
that new 3 to 5 acre log sort yard would be built at the Tonka Log Transfer Facility on the Wrangell Narrows, about 8 miles south of Petersburg. Logs could be held there before being loaded onto barges for the trip to the sawmill. The draft environmental document is online on the Forest Service's website for the Tongass, and the comment period ends December 12th. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
The Juneau School District has racked up more than $2 million in energy savings since implementing a conservation program in 2007. Energy education specialist Adrienne Schwartz tracks energy consumption for the district and works with staff to reduce costs by following energy efficiency guidelines.
And how I do that is I send out information letting everybody know what those guidelines are. And then I check buildings on a regular basis to make sure that those guidelines are being followed. And the maintenance department actually plays a huge role in the program because they're dealing with all of our ventilation systems and heating equipment and all of those kinds of things behind the scenes.
The guidelines were written with the help of Energy Education, a company that helps school districts, college campuses, and other institutions implement conservation measures. In the 4 years since the district implemented them, Schwartz says Juneau schools have saved more than $2,063,000. That's great news to school board president Sally Sadler.
As you know, we've been cutting our budget. We ended up cutting $4 million from our operating budget last year, and we're most likely looking at cuts again this year. So you hear people say so often it's time to work smarter, and I think this is a great example of the people in the school district who are working smarter.
Schwartz, who took over the energy education specialist job from Joyce Kitka this summer, says her goal for the future is to do more outreach to students.
I've started sending out a monthly newsletter, and I am including links to energy conservation curriculum, and I've had a few teachers ask me for information about that. I also had a high school group ask if I could come meet with them, so I'm hoping that more and more of it gets into the classroom.
Energy Education, the company that helped implement the conservation plan, is no longer on contract, but it continues to offer free support to the Juneau School District. And windy conditions are being blamed for a widespread Juneau power outage that affected about 16,000 customers yesterday. Alaska Electric Light and Power spokeswoman Debbie Ferreira says the major outage came at about 8:15 in the evening when a large tree fell onto two main power lines. She said crews removed the tree and power was restored within about an hour. Scattered localized outages earlier in the day affected several thousand customers in Juneau. Those outages were fixed by mid-afternoon. So another forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers, highs around 44, light winds becoming northeast 10 miles per hour late in the afternoon. This is KCAW in Sitka.